We need to go to Judges chapter 11, to a passage of scripture that I've shared before, but I want to actually come from a different angle tonight. And so we're going to go to Judges chapter 11. And I heard you had a camp for a month ago. Awesome. Youth camp. I could have snuck along there. I don't eat much, just to have fun. I actually went to a youth camp, not at this age, but I was a bit too old for it, but I wanted to hear Winky Prattney so much. I heard he was taking a youth camp, but I remember lying on the top bunk hearing all the razzmatazz and thinking, I know I'm too old for this. Even if it's Winky Prattney, I shouldn't have come. Okay. Judges chapter 11, and it talks about this young man called Jephthah, and he didn't have a good start in life. And you know, the Bible says in Corinthians, consider your own calling, brethren. Not many of you were highborn, not many of you were noble, not many of you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but I deliberately chose those that were low point born, insignificant, branded with contempt, so no mortal flesh could glory in my presence. So, you know, God wants you to know that the choosing of God is upon you tonight. Amen? And so it says in Judges chapter 11 there, verse 1, it says, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. War had broken out in the previous chapter. And so then we come to this next chapter, and it's talking about someone that's going to be involved in it. So now Jephthah the Gileadite, the word Jephthah means striker and opposer. And so this young man, you know, if because of his circumstances, had a chip upon his shoulder. And it says, he was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a prostitute. And Gilead bore Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bore sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said, you shall have no inheritance in our house, for you're the son of another woman. And then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with him. And Jephthah went out on raiding parties with him. And it came to pass when war broke out, it was that the people of Ammon had made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob and said, come and be our commander that we may fight against the Ammonites. Father, we thank you tonight that the entrance of your word brings light and it brings life. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our innermost beings and change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. We see this young man didn't have a very good start in life, and sometimes we may not have a good start, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we come from, you know, the very, dregs of what life could dish out. I remember talking to a pastor, and he actually said that he was came from a very wealthy family, went to boarding school, and the kids actually ostracized him, and they said, oh, you're the snob from Snob Hill. You don't want to hang out with us poor bees. You're just a snob. So the devil doesn't care how he labels you, how he curses your identity, because he was a mighty man of valor. He has had great. He had a great call in his life. He had great potential, but he was the son of a prostitute. And I believe God wants to deal with the buts in our life. Amen. That I would follow God, but if only I was smarter, but if only I didn't struggle with fear, but if only I wasn't dealing with rejection and inferiority. And God wants to get rid of the buts and deal with the buts. And he wants you to know that he's chosen you, the very person he's been looking for, and he has a destiny for your life. And it seems like this little boy who was came from an affair between Gilead and a prostitute, that she obviously came and dumped him on Jephthah, Gilead's doorstep. So he grew up in a family where, you know, Gilead's wife would have hated him, because why would she raise one of his kids? And he was evidence that her marriage isn't working. And then Jephthah's brothers, or the wife had other sons. Well, they would have hated him too, because they would have seen how miserable their mother was. And, you know, now they've got a blended family and they didn't want it. And they've got this child they didn't want around. And so Jephthah's name means striker and opposer. And people that are rejected will get in and reject you first. They'll make sure that they don't get hurt, so they'll reject you first. And people that have a chip on their shoulder, oftentimes it's because of a protection that's come around about their life. They're defending themselves because he doesn't understand why he is hated. He doesn't understand why he is ostracized. why he's not wanted. And it would seem like the father dies because they're giving out the inheritance. And in that culture, you didn't get the inheritance until the father passed away. And so the brothers come to Jephthah and said, don't you think you're getting any inheritance from our father? You don't belong. And the devil doesn't want you to know you have an inheritance. And he's tried to rob you of your inheritance. He's tried to rob your family line of their inheritance. Amen. And the Bible says that Jephthah runs away. You know, sometimes God, not sometimes, he's with us even in our runnings, even in the way we're trying to handle life. And he runs away and he goes to the land of Tob. And I know in my life, you know, life's labels. Life has a way of labeling you. How do labels come? Because you and I were born, you know, naked, unashamed, screaming for a drink of milk. But somewhere along the line, life begins to give us an identity. And so I know that even, you know, I went to a school that you know, it was a Catholic school, and the Catholic Church was good to our family. We were a very struggling family. But we couldn't afford uniforms, and they had a policy. Every Catholic child should get a Catholic education. So we were allowed to go to the school without paying school fees. But our parents couldn't afford uniforms and didn't bother me. And so I don't remember much of my primary school years except grade three. Because how do labels come into our life? Information plus strong emotion starts to put an internal identity on the inside. So one of the things we had was three teams, sports teams, Bonsecours, Lourdes and Fatima. And at lunchtime when the bell rang, we would actually line up in our teams to go into class. And so they had a marker for each team. And I wanted so much to be a marker, wanted to be out in front. And so this day I'm there and I thought, I'm being a marker today, so I'm just gonna stand on the line where the bell rang. You usually had to get there to be a marker, so I just stood there the whole 40 minutes eating my lunch in the sun. My friends are coming, do you want to play? No, I'm going to be a marker today. I'm going to be a marker. I'm a marker. So after 40 minutes, Mother Francesca, can't tell you the names of the other teachers, or maybe Mother Helena, because anyway, we won't go there. There's a whole rabbit trail. But anyway, so Mother Francesca, the nun, picks up the bell, and she rings it, and I'm there. I'm the marker of a Bonsecours. That's my team, and all the kids are lining up. I'm a marker today. And then she picks up the megaphone, and she says, would the girl in the coloured dress go to the end of the line? Would the girl in the coloured dress go to the end of the line? And that day, I became the girl in the coloured dress, because that day I realised I haven't got a uniform, so I'm not good enough. So we're poor. And so information plus strong emotions is how things start to, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will get on the inside. And if it gets on the inside, what's inside of you will talk to you all the time. And so this cursed identity, and here's this young man, he's running. And I want to say prophetically, this story is very powerful. And can we negotiate for 17 minutes? I'm teasing. And he runs to the land of Tob. And the word Tob is the word we find, same word in Exodus 33, where Moses is saying to God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And the Lord puts him in the cleft of the rock and allows his Tobay, same word with a slight, you know, adjective added to it, but it means goodness. The word means goodness. And he allowed all his goodness, his glory and his goodness cannot be separated. Now all his tobay to go around about him. And it's a prophetic picture that we need to get a revelation of the goodness of God that will change our lives. And it would appear that we don't understand how good God is until we know how much he loves us. And he dwelt there. He dwelt in the land of Tob. He didn't just sing a few songs. There was something that shifted on his life that was so powerful, the Bible says, that worthless men began to be drawn to him. And there's a lot of worthless people that are looking for goodness. Amen. They want to hear, is there any goodness for them? And the lost boys, the lost daughters are going to start coming in, amen? And they're coming to look for goodness. They're coming to look for the love of God. And you and I are going to carry that love. Amen. And so I want to talk about just tonight a couple of things about how do I change from a cursed identity? How do I change from someone who's filled with inferiority? Like, I struggled with inferiority. I had a lot of issues in my life. I had a shame-based personality, went on to got involved in drugs and became a single mother, and just the shame that just compiled in my life. I had a father that was very angry. He actually was so angry with me, he stopped talking to me for 11 months. You know, that says you're really bad, that I can't stand talking to you. So this message getting in on the inside that you're bad, you're not worth anything. In fact, you know, you're poor, you're inferior. And so unless we change the internal images, it doesn't matter how much outward success we have, we have to shift the inner image in our lives. How do we do that? How do we do that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by this, transformed by the spirit of your mind, that you might prove what is the perfect will for your life. And the word transformation is the word metamorphosis. And the word of God has the power to change you and I from being crawling on the ground like a grub, just trying to go forward, to being a butterfly that would manifest the beauty of God, the personhood of God. I want to say that the word goodness, it means bountiful favor. The word means kindness. It means prosperity. It means wealth. Hallelujah. And God wants to bring his goodness round about your life. How do I see myself not as a servant but as a friend of God? We can sing it and we can speak it. And memorization is good, but how do we get out the word from our head to our heart? Because it's out of the man's heart, amen? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In our head, you know, head knowledge is weak knowledge. I know years ago I was doing a Bible college course, and the person that was, you know, brilliant ducks of it, went back into alcoholism a year later. It's got to get to our heart, amen? And I want to just give you some keys. It says in Corinthians there that, well, let's actually turn there and quickly look at this scripture. How do I change that picture on the inside? Hallelujah. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and bringing every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every high thing down and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. How do we bring every thought into captivity? I felt my mind was like one of those balls of wool that, you know, a cat plays with, and it's just a mess. I had, you know, I would think, how do I actually bring every thought into captivity? And I want to say this. The key is meditation, for you are created to meditate. You will meditate on something because your heart is an incubator. What you behold, you become. What you think about the most, you will become. You move towards your most predominant thought. Never fight a negative thought. Replace it. And watch the internal questions. Why can't I change? And why am I just can't get over this fear? Why am I, I'm always feeling like a failure. Why can't I beat failure? Why aren't you helping me, God? Bad questions. Bad questions that just take you down a rabbit hole. But a good question is, Lord, how can I become more aware of your love? How can I become more aware that I'm beloved of the Father? How can I become more aware that I am your child? Lord, I see myself in the loving embrace of God. My dad was a tough man, and I really was very rebellious, but my younger brother had a different experience, and his experience is totally different. He remembers as a little boy that he would love to sit on our dad's knee. My dad was a carpenter, and he would love to just sit there as a little boy and pick the glue, because carpenters work with glue guns, pick the glue off his fingers. And he said he'd often fall asleep in Dad's arms and he'd feel himself levitating up the hall as he's been carried to bed. And he and I have two totally different experiences. I want to say this. See yourself in the loving embrace of the carpenter, the man from Galilee. And feel, felt truth is powerful truth. Felt truth will internalize, amen? So Joshua 1:8 says to Joshua, this is how you're going to take the land. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will not memorize, but memorization is good. But if it doesn't get from here, it's got to get to here. How does it get from here? Meditation. And the word meditate means to chew the cud. Means to chew over it. Lord, I'm taking the time to feel what it is to fall back into the loving embrace of God. God, I'm struggling in this area, but I'm falling back into the arms of the carpenter, the man from Galilee, the lover of my soul. I see myself in the arms of the beloved. Now I could quote, underneath are the everlasting arms and perfect love casts out all fear, and God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love and strength. Because I try to cram scripture in, trying to get victory, try to cram it in. I walk around, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love. But a better way is to, Lord, I just see myself bold. Thank you, Lord, that I have a spirit of power, dunamis power, Lord. I see your power all around me, agape love, in a strong, sound, renewed mind. Thank you, Lord, for the mind of... Lord, thank you that my mind is coming clear. Amen? So meditation means to chew the cud. It means to roll around and look out from every angle. Worry is the devil's meditation, because you will meditate on something. Your mind cannot handle a vacuum. So what you think about the most, you will start to become. It means to roll around and look out from... That's why when you worry, you get a little bit more anxiety, because you're looking at it, more anxieties. But the opposite, if I see myself walking free, and the right question is, what will my life look like when I'm completely free? I used to have a problem, well, not perfect, but with messiness. Now, I know nobody here is struggling with that, and there's no hoarders here. But I used to have to say, Lord, what will it feel like to sit in my lounge and the clutter's gone? And there's tidiness round about. What will it feel like in the peace that brings? And then as you're meditating in that, all of a sudden you just start to, things start to change the way you do things, because you see yourself to roll around and look out from every angle. And the third thing to meditate means is to mutter. 80% or 75% of people in the world's self-talk is negative. Well, that was really stupid. Why did I do that? I guess, you know, I'm hopeless. Maybe I should quit. That's the enemy's self-talk. David's self-talk was, why aren't you cast down on my soul? Come on, pick yourself up. Hope in God. He's going to bring you through. Come on. I might have missed it there, but thank you, Jesus. You've called me to be the head and not the tail. Watch your self-talk. And you can actually hear when a negative thought comes. And I want to say, when that happens to me now, I'd go, why would I waste my time? If I let that in, I'm just going to waste space in my head. I'm going to waste time. What is the replacement? Lord, I see that situation changed. I see that son or daughter turned around. I'm believing for my daughter to get married. And I've already bought a card that says, on your wedding day. I've already got the mother of the bride dress. But I see her happy. I see her excited. I don't feel the fear. What if she never marries? What if she's alone? What if she is going to have to struggle in life? No, I see her happy. I see her rejoicing. I see the joy all around. I felt truth is powerful truth. Amen. And that's how it becomes written on the table of your heart. And I believe God wants to give you a revelation of goodness. that you would soak in, that you would lean into the loving embrace of God. And the Bible says something so shifted over his life. And I believe he got to know God as his father in the land of goodness. He understood that he was a son, that he had an inheritance. And something so shifted, the very people that ran him out of town saw something so different. They said, come and lead our nation. Come and lead our nation. He was a brilliant strategist. He had an incredible capacity to lead. He was brave and courageous, and he led them into complete victory because he got out from under the old mindsets. He got out from under the old opinions of others and the opinions he had of himself. And I want to just pray a prayer right now that God would do a deep work at people's minds. Amen. Because the negative things that can come, well, why can't I get the victory there? And maybe I should just fast. I need to fast more. I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. And sometimes those things are good, but religion will say, try harder, try harder, try harder. But the meditation is, he's already done it. I have to walk in it. I'm already a daughter. Thank you for your inheritance, that you and me, I have your victory already. And I just walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just stand right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. His whole destiny flowed out of a place called goodness. His whole destiny was released because he found who he was in God. Amen. That he was beloved. And no matter where you've come from, no matter what's been said, no matter what things you've said about yourself, God's going to. And I want to just pray for people tonight. And coming out on an altar call is great to come into agreement with a word, but the greater work is in our own lives. As we watch the things that we meditate on, you know, the power of emotion is so great because you might be watching, you know, a TV show the night before, and it might be, I don't know, Star Wars, NCIS, My Kitchen Rules, something like that. But in the morning, you might be brushing your teeth and you're thinking, or Farmer Wants a Wife if you're really dorky. I ring Maddie and Kane, my daughter and her husband. You watching Farmer? Has he got it? Sorry, I tease them. But you might be there brushing your teeth thinking, I wonder why he picked that one. You're thinking, you know, you had no trouble recalling that because with open face, beholding the emotion linked to the picture, recall is just there because it got internalized. Now you're not going to keep talking, thinking about it, so it won't stay there. But linking it to felt emotion will, of course, truth to be internalized in our life. Amen. So right now, if there are any areas in mindsets and things that you are saying, Lord, I need to come out from under those things, I want you just to, you know, just let's all lift our hands right now. Because God wants to take us to new levels of freedom and renewed mind. And Lord, right now we come and you see the glass ceilings. You see the areas where we've seen ourselves not as you see us. You see us as the head and not the tail. And Lord, the areas we've struggled in, the areas that we've felt the enemy just pushing us down, and we've come under at times feeling unworthy. We've come under times of feeling inadequate. We've come under that sense of rejection. But Lord, tonight we're coming out from under all those old mindsets. And Lord, we're saying tonight, we're covenanting with you to step into Romans 12, 1 and 2, to meditate, to set time aside for meditative, reflective, musing and pondering on the truth, to think deeply. Not just shallow thinking, but think deeply and ask the right questions. What will my life look like when I'm walking in freedom? What will it feel like to see that area of my life totally renewed? What will it feel like to know that there's money in the bank and God's blessing is all around about me? In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for every person here. I take authority over the assignments of the enemy and even the molding and even the conditionings of the past. And we break it off. We break off those old conditionings. And I see even where things have been like pegs in the ground where you felt pegged to some old mindsets. I see those pegs coming out, those pegs coming out. And it says in Zechariah 10, from him comes the tent peg, hallelujah. And God's fastening your mind to things above, fastening your mind to spiritual truth. And even as you're working with him, you're going to find that there's such a deep, deep renewal. For the Lord would say, know this day that I'm going to have a people that will so operate in the mind of Christ that you would let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that you would walk in that place of sonship and daughtership, that you would walk in faith, that you would walk on water, that you would walk in the destiny that I've called you to walk in. So fear not. I've gone before you to make the crooked places straight. And I am making you the head and not the tail. So even now, God says, I'm opening up a portal. I'm opening up the land called goodness. And I would have you to dwell, make your abode in the land called goodness. For even as you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done. But you're going to not only bear fruit, but you're going to bear much, much, much fruit for me. And fear not the pruning and the proving, for I'm going to cut off old thought patterns. I'm going to cut off old negative mindsets. And you're going to find what it is to think faith-filled, positive, victorious, overcoming, more than a conqueror thoughts. And even as you would wake in the morning, you're going to have a song. You're going to have a song of victory. You're going to have a song of praise on your lips. And you're going to go far, very, very, very far in a short period of time because of the renewal that I'm bringing into your mind, says the Lord your God. Amen. Amen. Amen.